Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hillman on air. Tonight we have a wonderful guest. We have Kim Marie. Kim Marie is the director of the Evolutionary Astrology Network, overseeing the coordinating course worldwide. She teaches live schools in the U.S. and produces the EA conferences across North America. She has been a student of this astrology of Jeff Green for 24 years. She counsels international clientele and publishes a free monthly forecast, which I highly recommend. I read it every month. She lives in South Dakota with her husband, son, and three lovely cats. Check out the website, evolutionaryastrology.net. Kim, as always, a pleasure, and the skies are very busy these days.
Oh, thank you, Jen, and yes, they are.
So what is going on? I mean, you mentioned in your newsletter is something about Jupiter being really active in Aquarius right now, along with a few other planets.
Oh, yeah. Jupiter takes about a year to go through a sign of the zodiac, so it makes a complete revolution about every 12 years. It's a collective cycle that's, like, short enough that we can measure it and measure it individually. And so this year, Jupiter through Aquarius, and my little buzzword for it, for any of our metaphysical listeners, Jupiter is spirituality, our conscious belief systems. Aquarius is technology. So here is spirituality through technology. Another way I like to say it is spirituality through cyberspace, or metaphysical expansion through cyberspace. I think Jupiter has fun in Aquarius, and it's a little bright spot, you know, in the midst of these big contractions we're going through, you know, Pluto and Capricorn and our financial reprioritizing. The Jupiter in Aquarius, you know, Jupiter's always about growth, and yes, it sometimes requires us to let go, to create a void to evolve into, grow into. So a little thing about Jupiter that's not always advertised. You know, Jupiter's a party planet. And so, you know, let's have fun. If a little's good, more is better. So Jupiter, the little thing about Jupiter is, well, if we want to expand, where are we going to create this space to expand into? So sometimes Jupiter on a conscious level is letting go of what no longer works in order to move forward. Aquarius is a sign known for its future vision, for getting those sparks of insight, those lightning bolts, as Aquarius can be known for. So Jupiter in Aquarius is always, oh gosh, it can be jumping three steps ahead of itself. So how I like to tell people to look at it is, you know, we've got a lot of what feels like contraction going on in our country, in the United States, in the world, and it's true. Pluto entered Capricorn last year, 2008, 15 years. But in the midst of these contractions, it helps us prioritize what's important to us. And Jupiter in Aquarius is just going to bring through the sparks of insight. Now, if I can, Jen, I'll explore a little more about the archetype of Aquarius.
Please.
Actually, in addition to Jupiter, we've got two other planetary bodies moving through Aquarius. We've got Chiron, which is where we have our woundedness, where our soul carries its wounds. Also where we can find a way to heal our woundedness. And then we have Neptune, which is spirituality on the deepest unconscious levels possible. Neptune's that archetype of source energy or God goddess. But so we've got these three busy bodies, or three heavy duty spiritual planets really, if you start combining them together, you know, it's our belief system, conscious and unconscious. So there's a lot of planetary energy clustering here in Aquarius right now, all through spring, summer, fall. For most of this year, we've got Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron hanging out together, and basically in the latter half of Aquarius. Excuse me for being full of details. But back to Aquarius and itself as an archetype.
Now, can I just ask you a question real quick on Aquarius? Aren't they known for being more about the group or humanity versus the individual?
Yes. Now, if we have Sun in Aquarius, we're going to obviously relate to Aquarius as an individual because we find our Sun sign there. Aquarius is known as the group. One of the reasons is the 11th sign of the zodiac. There's 12 signs, so it's 11th out of 12. So as we get to the end of the zodiac, you've got to be able to hold a larger and larger circle. Pisces holds the whole zodiac, the last sign. It holds everything that came before it. So that's how you can start to broaden and understand Aquarius as a collective archetype. As this archetype of a group, Aquarius will actually symbolize three different factions within any group or collective body or society. Aquarius, relating to these three groups, one group will be what Aquarius is famous for, the avant-garde, the rebel, the one who's always busting loose and just charging forward, whether anybody's coming with or not. Then there is the opposite dream of that with Aquarius, and this is the Aquarius that gets traumatized, and paralyzed, and stuck in the past. So we have that other extreme of defending the past, holding to the status quo. Aquarius is a fixed sign. Don't rock my boat. It was never as good as it was yesterday. In between those two extremes, those who are charging forward, those who are defending the past, the third group in Aquarius waffles back and forth. And so between those three factions within the archetype of Aquarius on a collective level, can you see how there can be back and forth energy between busting loose and trying to go back to yesterday, and those who are confused in the middle, being kind of buffeted about by the collective wind, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, Aquarius is a very multifaceted archetype.
Now, with it being in these three signs, isn't it really going to bring up your belief systems to really understand if it's working for you or not?
Totally. Totally.
And those wounds, so you can understand why you got wounded and how you set yourself up for them.
Yep, that's exactly it. Jupiter, conscious belief. Neptune, unconscious belief. Chiron, can reach in the middle with the wound. You know, Aquarius, here's another thing about Aquarius, because it's fixed air. It wants to maintain. It wants to hold steady. And what you can have with all of the fixed air signs, which is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, all the fixed signs, when they get stuck in their inertia, holding status quo, something has to come along to create change. And what Aquarius will signify is, the ruler of Aquarius is Uranus. So Uranus and Aquarius share similar archetypes. And they're known as liberation, deconditioning, breaking free from the Capricorn crystallizations that came before to liberate Aquarius. Well, sometimes we get caught up in our status quo, Capricorn, sign before. We don't want to liberate. And so what will happen is with Aquarian energy, we'll create a cataclysm. We'll create an eruption. We'll create what is another well-known archetype with Aquarius from the perspective of evolutionary astrology, and that is we will get traumatized. The upsets happen, if we're paying attention, remember those little messages we chose to ignore, if we're not paying attention, it just erupts and blows up the smithereens. You know, think of a lightning bolt and how it just changes the landscape. You know, within us, without, around us. So this archetype of Aquarius, again, when it doesn't want to change, things come along to upset that fixed energy, and we then have to reestablish perspective, reestablish foundation. So Aquarius is well known as being a signature sometimes for shock, the lightning bolt, and the trauma, PTSD that'll set in. And so Aquarius as an archetype, then we can look at these collective groups in society. Those that are moving forward, gung-ho, ready to change. And again, those that are defending the past, the crystallization, they get the upsets and the trauma. Now, the purpose of Aquarius, when it relates to trauma, is that it's trying to liberate. It's trying to help us change and grow. So, weaving this story, Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, all in Aquarius, our belief systems are ready for change. And if we want to continue to boost it, to hang on to old beliefs that no longer serve us, we're going to find upsets in our life whereby our belief systems no longer support us. Now, the most collectively, the common time period in which we will see the upsets of the past breaking away is this spring, in May and June, when we have all three of these planets, Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, go retrograde. And they go retrograde within a three-week time period from the end of May to June, middle of June. And when they go retrograde, retrograde is review, reevaluate, throw off. So that's when collective groups of people could see old ways not working.
Mm-hmm.
Old beliefs, old collective beliefs about social groups, Aquarius. So maybe we could see some mini revivals in regards to, you know, another classic with Aquarius, which is a public collective revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The collective coming together to have their collective voice. Aquarius is an air sign, heard. Now, typically, way it works in our broad circles, consensus society, is we need that shake-up from the past before we'll change. So again, we can see this spring time period in May and June. And by the way, astrological degrees did this. Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune all go retrograde between 26 and 27 degrees Aquarius. Hail in. So that's going to be the upset, the shake-up, the time period for the messages of what we've got to look at, the beliefs we have to reevaluate. So they'll retrograde over the summer for about 4 or 5 months, and then all three of these planets will turn direct, going forward in the sky again, answer solution. From the middle of October to the beginning of November, and they'll go direct between 17 and 24 degrees Aquarius. So anywhere, if you know astrology, any listeners, anywhere between 17 to 27 degrees Aquarius, 10 degrees there, those are going to be the planetary degrees of Aquarius that are going to be most active. So this would be people, if you want to go sun sign, you know, this would be people who were born in early February.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first part of February. Those would be the sun in Aquarius. Probably about the first half of February, right along there, those people will really notice the changes and shakeups in their beliefs a little more than the other sun sign degrees of the zodiac. Now, here's some more tidbits. Again, evolutionary astrology looks at any archetype, any astrological archetype, as being, as having a spectrum of meaning and interpretation. And, you know, along each archetype, you can see the distortions of that archetype, the woundedness of any archetype, and you can see the natural expressions of any archetype. So these planets in Aquarius shaking up our beliefs. In its distortions, we'll have souls who see, you know, cherished beliefs that just don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can just use another common example, a belief about money. Look at how
that's a huge one.
Look at our beliefs about money and economic values. You know, there's a whole subject we could talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll have those that'll have the shocks and the traumas. They lose their job. Now tell me, that doesn't cause you to review your belief system.
Right.
So, but some of the other distortions will be the individual who's in a relationship and refuses to see the cries from the partner saying this relationship isn't working, we've got to change things. Partner leaves them. That'll shake up your beliefs around relationships.
Right.
So the distortions will be, you know, upsets and traumas. And it's up to each of us in our own individual story to use it as a wake-up call.
And actually act on the stories and those insights to really change things. Because a lot of people I know, they're getting the insights, but they're saying, that's nice, and they're not doing anything about it.
Yep. That's very common in human consciousness, because we desire to be secure.
Right.
We project the path forward, you know, or we remain in inertia. Again, that's why we have Aquarius energy. It shakes it up. It shakes the last of the fixed air signs, or last of the fixed signs, excuse me. It shakes things up when necessary. Now, a natural expression of Aquarius, to turn it around the other way, that's the visionary, that's the insights that come along. Those are the messages that keep popping into your head all on their own about the future and where you're trying to go. So the same individual, you know, in relationships, it might pick up on these intuitive messages. You know, something doesn't seem right in this relationship with my partner. I better pay attention here. What are the messages I'm getting about our relationship? You know, creativity. Aquarius, clarity is Leo. And so Aquarius is the broad level for creativity, collective creative cycle. That's why Jupiter and Aquarius do this next year. We can have some, we've got a mini explosion going on in technology, whether it's green technology or here in the U.S. or automotive industries having to, you know, reinvent themselves.
Yes. And can we do have a caller? Caller, are you there?
I am. Hi, this is Althea.
Okay, Althea, she's just doing general questions. She's not able to do personal charts. So do you have a general question?
I do have a general question.
And what's
your
question?
It's regarding the shakeup. My husband actually got notice that he would be, he'll be laid off at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And this we received as a blessing.
All right.
Yeah, we received it as a blessing because 2 weeks prior, he wrote a note, a soul note to himself and said, I want to do my soul work. I want a job that respects me and I respect, you know, that and the whole bit. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in this position. Now here's the thing, and I know Jennifer, I spoke to you about this. We wanted to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this shake-up energy, in this kind of chaotic climate, I mean, is the move energy, it's going to take some time, but is it still there?
You know what? It's there on many levels for people. You know, when we as collective groups get shook up, as much as we have in this last 6 months, this last year, nothing feels stable for anybody. And so if you can get past the fears of it and go, listen, one door closes because another one's opening. Yes, there's contraction cycles going on, but the squeeze creates the combustion of rebirth. And so it doesn't happen overnight. You're right. And many of us in the United States, we might have to be quite creative in how we get by through the changes. But there's so much creativity that can come out of this. And here's another thing, how I look at it. Again, because collective groups are all shook up. Everything's in flux. Everything's in change. Society, collectively, is more sympathetic, more open to collective groups of people being in a lot of chaos and therefore a lot of changes. And therefore, everybody's trying to move through these changes to find a new plateau, a new homeostasis. So here's a clue for your husband on a personal basis, and this is generic for all of us because Aquarius, this Aquarian energy is out there collectively for all of us. Aquarius is the visionary, and how we know this is Aquarius and its ruler Uranus relate to the archetype of the individuated unconsciousness. In other words, what we have on a soul level that's not always easy to access. It's whatever's unconscious in, within our own unique soul. Our past and all its details, past lives if you work with that. What happens with this individuated soul? Our own soul wants to give us information on how to move forward into the future. It does it by releasing bits and pieces of the future, where we're intuitively trying to go. It releases these pieces of information up into our consciousness. And it doesn't come up in a real nice movie fashion, beginning to end, or
Right.
It's bits and pieces. So you pay attention to the element of repetition about the future. So, and here's another classic for Aquarius, and I'll fit right in with your husband. When Aquarius is trying to liberate and throw off the past, many times it works by throwing off the past first. We don't know what we want, but we know what we don't want anymore.
I'm so glad you said that because we've been getting quiet, and this has been ongoing since December, getting very quiet and trying to find the path, or not trying to find, but just being open to what that path might be or where the move might be. We haven't heard anything, but we're very clear what we don't want.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And quite frankly, for collective groups, if we're going to work with natural timings of cycles, you know, these three planets in Aquarius going retrograde this spring will continue to throw up chaos. By the time that they are going direct this fall, things will be settling down. Now, doesn't mean that you could maybe wait that long to have the next job in place. Some people can't. They will then have to get creative with, you know, interim jobs as they're going forward with what it is that makes their heart sing, or as they're trying to search for that. You can give yourself, as Aquarius, most of the time, you have to give yourself, on average, with the retrograde cycles of Uranus, Aquarius's ruler, you want to give your, and then it depends on the planets in Aquarius. You know, Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, in this case, it's going to work right in there. You're going to have to give yourself anywhere from 6 to 12 months of allowing the messages of the future to come in.
Wow.
Now, many times, the messages of the future are radical shifts, Aquarius, from the past. Capricorn. This past Capricorn being, you know, before Aquarius. So, we have an instant fix society. We have modern society here in North America that, you know, just basically would like to ignore natural law. Mm-hmm. I want it now.
No. No.
Timing of natural law, the big changes in life with the three outer planets, well, with Neptune and Pluto, the two outer planets, are a minimum 18 months to 3 years. 3 years on average. Uranus transits, Uranus rules Aquarius, those are on average a year. So there's a lot of people that really, if they will use this Jupiter and Aquarius throughout this next year, they can find lots of opportunities that are getting shook up, shaken up, generated elsewhere. Jobs are closing out in one direction. They're going to open up in other directions.
We firmly believe that, and we prepared for this. This was not a shock for us. We knew, you know, we've put the money aside. We can keep going without jobs for a bit. So for us, it's like, okay, now that we're almost taking the move off the table because it's, in a sense, enabling us to calm down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good one. You know, as for moving, you know, that will kind of slow down a little bit. If you're going to see moving in any direction, you may see people moving back home. In other words, back to their communities of origin.
Well, I have to share this, and then I'll hang up for other people and for your beautiful talk. But when I asked, I was in deep meditation in beautiful Ashland, Oregon at the gathering. It was wonderful. And I was on the white road, and I said, okay, where's the path leading to? And the two people that came in, and I'm not religious and was not raised religious, was Jesus and Mother Mary. And I said, no, where's the house? You know, so there it is.
Uh-huh. Oh, beautiful.
So, yeah.
To me, that would be Neptune in Aquarius.
Yes. It's always something that we're asking for. Thank you so much for this. I really do appreciate it, and I'm enjoying listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Jennifer, if I can, the moving back home to communities of origin, that could very easily be Pluto in Capricorn. Pluto's a big, long transit, and that's the one that's got us feeling this economic upheaval. You know, Pluto represents the soul individually and collectively. Moving to Capricorn 2008 to 2023-24, 15 years. Capricorn is an earth sign ruling the resources. Pluto in Capricorn, all right, everybody, time to face fiscal reality.
Yes.
Time to face financial reality, economic reality. The Capricorn and its polarity, Cancer, you know, they deal with the masculine, feminine energies, respectively. And so they will bring in families of origin, Cancer. And if we go through economic crunch, economic crisis, Capricorn, the solution is to do the inner emotional work. On a mundane level, it can find people, again, moving closer to home. You move back to home, you can find, you know, more resources in the extended family group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a natural that'll happen as the years go by. Now, one other thing, too, about Jupiter in Aquarius, and that is it can bring up some entrepreneurship. Aquarius, the vision, the creativity, and Jupiter, the ideas. And so there's over time, you know, people who are out of work, they've got a lot of time on their hands. There is, you know, all that volunteerism. You want to put yourself out in groups, Aquarius, that you may not know, that you may not be comfortable with to get beyond that family of origin. If you're out of work, even if you live by close to home, if you live somewhere else different, you can put yourself out there in those various collective ways, volunteerism. It will open doors with strangers that will help you get the next job.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Neptune in Aquarius is going to ask for, you know, some beliefs in ourselves as an entrepreneurial. The belief that we can create ways to sustain ourselves, to be creative, to be a productive citizen in the community, Aquarius. And again, this is where you really want to pay attention to the elements of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Neptune in Aquarius, Neptune being, you know, source energy, being the potential for ideal. The distortions of Neptune and source energy is delusions of source, the fantasies and delusions. And so, again, this is where we can take that time and allow the repetition of the ideas of where we can go with new jobs or creating a new business. We can make sure that it's what's best for us because the idea stays there over time. We keep getting that message.
Now, the message can be in physical, and since it's Neptune, which is dream time, a lot of times it's going to be, and I have a lot of clients that are having repeating dreams. They know they've had a dream before, they don't know when, but the dream is there again.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what the Neptune in Aquarius is doing? Is kind of letting them know, you know, that idea is still in the back of your head, but bring it forward.
Yes, it can be. Neptune in Aquarius, we can receive the repeated messages in our dream time. Definitely. Now, I will say something else, too. Aquarius, again, relating to the individuated unconsciousness. The unconsciousness within our own soul contains three types of information. You're going to relate this to the three factions of groups with Aquarius. That unconscious information will be the past in all its detail, this life's past life. Dreams may come up about past lives. I've been telling people, Jupiter and Neptune in Aquarius, you may have some spontaneous memories pop up into consciousness from the past. The repeated messages may not just be only of the future. We could get things about the past that keep popping up again and again, whether dream world or we remember things from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can even have spontaneous past life memories pop up. So that past, if it's popping up into consciousness, wants to be healed, Chiron. Now, it wants to be healed, period. But with Chiron and Aquarius in the mix, there's the opportunity, if we keep repeating the past, if issues from the past circle around again,
mm-hmm.
memories pop up, heal it. And these memories that are going to pop up, they can also relate to another faction with the individuated unconsciousness, and that's whatever we're trying to suppress in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our individuated consciousness, our soul, can only take so much in its head. And what we will do if there's something in our life we don't want to deal with, we try to push it away. We try to not think about it. We try to forget about it. We try to push it below the surface into the unconsciousness. Uranus and its rulership of the sign Aquarius tries to take whatever we suppress in the present and keep throwing it back up till we deal with it. That stuff can come through in dream time. That stuff can come through on its own. You know, as these messages come up from the unconscious
mm-hmm.
to our consciousness, they can be clairvoyant, they can be clairaudient, or clairsentient. And it can happen all three ways. Clairvoyant, we see it. Clairaudient, we hear it. Inner, outer. Clairsentient, we feel it in the gut.
And trust it.
Oh, yes. Aquarius is a beautiful archetype. It's a broad-based archetype to understand. And yet, when you really get that, you know, Aquarius is the sign, it's the mechanism that our soul uses to try and liberate, to decondition, to break free from the past. What happens when we break free? We get to be free.
What a concept.
Yeah. So Jupiter in Aquarius, Neptune in Aquarius, we're going to get these visions about the future that we perceive would be joyful, would be full of freedom, would be full of creativity. Relative to those visions of the future, then, we're going to have this past come up that makes us feel stuck. So how do we liberate from it? Sometimes we lose the job.
Mm-hmm.
We may choose to walk away from the job.
Or the relationship.
Or the relationship. Mm-hmm. Or the community.
Yeah.
Now, the traditional part of Aquarius was always relating to, you know, groups of like-minded souls,
mm-hmm.
friends. you know, this can be a year that friendship can be in topsy-turvy. You know, nothing tests a marriage or an intimate relationship like money issues.
Yes.
Same can be said in many ways for friendship. You know, a friend loses a job, you loan him some money, and there's no payback.
Right.
Or, you know, think of the many scenarios in which you, you know, have friendships. And these planets in Aquarius, friendships could run their natural course. Typical thing, one soul is wanting to spiritually evolve, leap forward. And a friend is wanting to defend the path. And your belief systems reach a Y in the road. So the friendship doesn't work anymore.
Right. And it doesn't mean in the future the friend can't, you know, maybe back, but at this time it's best for you both just to go your separate ways.
If the belief systems are differing.
Right.
Now, if you're moving into new beliefs, then you could also attract in new friends in which the common ground would be these new beliefs.
Right.
So new friends could also be coming through.
And it has been very difficult for a lot of people to let go of this past belief. I'm finding that you're saying, but what do I do then? If I don't have that belief, and it's just like they can't handle that void.
No, it's hard. Another one of those planets that, you know, can really create the void is Neptune. Because, you know, Neptune is on the broadest level, the archetype of source energy, you know, God, goddess, whatever your terminology is. And source energy is so much, when we connect to source energy, it's similar to the ego linking up to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The ego wants to run the show, and the soul says, sorry, you don't get to do that, and ego will be forced to surrender. So the same thing happens on an individual soul basis, reconnecting with universal soul. Our individual soul wants to say, listen, I recognize myself as a wave, a cresting on the sea. I exist. And universal source says, well, soul, if it's not what's best for you, it just ain't going to manifest.
Yeah.
So, you know, Neptune is famous for leading us in that Neptunian void, in nebulous Neptune land.
Now, do you have any suggestions on how to best handle that void if you get into it?
Well, you know what? Our listener that called in had one of the best suggestions. You just have to make quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in natural spirituality, we link up to source in the silence, when we're quiet. When we, you know, can calm ourselves down enough to hear the voice within the silence.
And it's a wonderful voice to hear.
Mm-hmm. I also like to say, evolutionary astrology is, you know, our purpose in using the language of astrology is to just open us up to natural spirituality again, versus
right.
our human distortions of it. And one of the best ways to reconnect with source energy, to hear, to get into the void and be okay in the void and then hear what needs to be heard, is in nature. Walking in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You get out in outdoors in Mother Nature and it will naturally quiet you down. It's not the easiest thing to do in a big city.
No, there's too much noise to actually
yes.
do it.
You can go to the park. You know, I say take a walk outdoors with an iPod and nature sounds.
Yes.
So, but you understand that you know, the history of our soul over long periods of time is to be more connected to nature than disconnected.
Oh, most definitely. So, with all this Aquarian energy, the sun is now in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
How is that mix going to be with the Aquarian. I mean, Aries is the go-getter.
Yes. And Sun in Aries always creates that annual rebirth.
Yes.
You know, this is Sun in Aries is a sign of hope. You know, nothing is more hopeful than the anticipation of a rebirth, a new birth, a new beginning. I like to tell people, all you have to do is connect with a baby, be it a little human baby or a baby animal this time of year, or baby plant. Nothing makes you, that ooh and ah, and I feel so cuddly and warm and oh God, it's just full of unconditional energy and love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the energy, that's rebirth energy. And so Aries to Aquarius is 60 degrees in the zodiac of circle, and it is an energy of opportunity. Aries to Aquarius, or starting with Aquarius and going towards Aries in the zodiac, it's an opportunity time. And so go with it.
Yes. Now, there was just a semi-square with Jupiter and Pluto, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So do we have any more intense squares coming up in the next couple months that we really need to be aware of?
Yep.
It?
Yep.
I mean,
hold on. I'm just going to look through my little list for us right now and see where we're at. You know, what we were talking about earlier, we kind of get it back off from semi-squares and squares for a while for the next few months.
Now, another big one is oppositions.
Yes.
There's been a lot of really powerful oppositions happening.
Oh, it's been the Saturn-Uranus opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Five of them in 2008, 9, 10. Normally, we'll have three aspects when planets go through their retrograde cycles. Slower moving planets, we can repeat an aspect five times, two retrograde cycles. So we had the second of five Saturn-Uranus oppositions in February. We won't have their next one until September.
We have a little breathing space.
We get a little breathing space. But what is going on right now, Jen, if I may, for your listeners, is that on Saturday, April 4th, we got a Pluto retrograde. Pluto represents the soul, both individually and collectively. And for most of us, our soul exists on an unconscious basis. When Pluto does its change of directions, it slows down, goes retrograde, then slows down, goes direct again. Those time periods when Pluto is stationary in the sky, those are like vortexes whereby the soul, we can hear our soul, we can recognize what our soul is saying, what it wants us to work with. The unconscious pops up to the surface again. So Pluto goes retrograde about 3-4 degrees Capricorn. 5 months retrograde, doesn't go direct until September 11th. At about 0 degrees Capricorn. So we're just starting our Pluto in Capricorn retrograde cycle. This is going to, when Pluto goes retrograde, our souls get ready to throw off old desires. We have a little saying in the perspective of evolutionary astrology is that, Pluto's retrograde 5 months of the year, almost half the time. It's a natural symbolism of evolution. Pluto, the soul, reviewing, reversing, going backwards, throwing off the past. That in itself affects evolution.
Mm-hmm. And with all the other things going on, it's almost fitting.
Yeah. There's a tendency for the outer planets right now to, especially Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Jupiter's just lining up with them right now for a couple of years. These slower moving outer planets tend to go retrograde in the spring, direct in the fall. So springtime is spring and summer is like a natural time period at this point in time to throw off the past. And then in fall, we've kind of thrown everything up in the air. We're seeing how it's kind of settling down into a new land. landscape every fall, and we can dig in through the winter and move forward. Now, Pluto moving into Capricorn, probably throwing us off a little bit, you know, because it's just moving into the sign.
Right.
Now, Pluto going through a retrograde, its first full retrograde in Capricorn. We're going to have 15 of them. And so, again, there will probably be this spring more financial upsets, more throwing off the financial path, more review of our economic policies, our fiscal policies. I mean, I'm excited with Pluto in Capricorn. I am someone who is a little PO'd, if I may say that on the air.
Sure, you can say anything here.
Just a little PO'd at how we have allowed all the deregulations on Wall Street, so we have made unwise, you know, financial ventures that, you know, it's the people that are getting the crunch. We wouldn't have to have Pluto go into Capricorn and have the economic contraction be this big. The having it this big and crunching, you know, waking up these people through job loss or upset, you know, hopefully what can happen is the collective cycles, Aquarius cycles, will be motivated. Hopefully Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, you know, over the spring and summer, we're all going to get re-triggered, maybe even through past lives of where we've had financial upsets, security upsets. And my hope and intent through Pluto and Capricorn is that the public wakes up enough to say, listen, we've got to be involved in creating these fiscal policies and controlling this monetary supply so that government works for us. So that capitalism works for us, not at our expense.
Well, it's like right now we're working for the government.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it is time that things get turned around. And I do agree with you. I've been looking forward to Pluto being in Capricorn, not only because I do think it's time for everything to be restructured in many ways, but also because Pluto and Sag was hitting me hard, and it's nice to be done with that. So it was, but I do think that this country is, and the world, is really ready for a total restructure of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if the collective doesn't wake up, and with all the planets the way that I don't see how they can't, is there something in the future that's going to be that slam dunk, you know, 2x4 against the head of the collective that's really going to shake it up? Or do we just have 15 years of this up and down because of Pluto and Capricorn?
No, we will see the highlight of the wake-up, especially, you know, economic ones. If we don't pay attention to how we're changing things right now, and you know, I quite frankly, from my perspective, I don't see our changes in economic policies being much different than where we've been. We can look for those big shakeups to come at the Uranus-Pluto squares, seven of them, in 2012 to 2015.
Wow.
And these squares will happen between 8 to 16 degrees Aries, Capricorn. Yeah, and that's why I'm like watching some of this economic stuff, and you know, who knows, even that's now forecasting a little long range, you know,
right.
It's 4 years away, 3 years away, you know, but and so depending upon choices that we make now in the next couple of years, it may tell us how things, and these squares are first quarter squares. Think of the first quarter phase of the moon to the sun, that bust out crises in action, that crossroads to let go of the past, move forward in manifesting the evolving new pattern. So these seven Uranus-Pluto first quarter squares, you know, this is going to be the crisis to bust out Uranus, Aquarius, and create new economic policy, Pluto and Capricorn. And with Uranus, because again, it's going to be Uranus and Aries. So Uranus, just like Aquarius, All those archetypes we spoke about with Aquarius earlier,
mm-hmm.
they also exist with Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius. So, the collective rebellion, the social rebellion,
mm-hmm.
Uranus and Aries, that will necessarily come to create economic well-being and equality, Aquarius, for everybody. Pluto and
mm-hmm.
Capricorn. We got to have economic, you know, collective rules and norms that work for everybody. So that's what those Uranus and Aries, Pluto and Capricorn squares are going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't create equitable changes in, you know, country by country and globally now, we'll be revisiting this stuff in 2012 to 2015 more intensely, yes.
And Kim, we do have a caller. Caller, are you still there? Caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that
hello?
One? Hello. Hi.
Hi there.
Do you have a general question for Kim?
Yeah, just briefly. I was wondering if you discussed the clump of planets opposing us on the other side of Saturn.
Clump of planets on the other side of Saturn. You mean Saturn in Virgo with Uranus in Pisces?
Yeah, opposing, right, opposing Saturn and the majority of the planets being on the opposite side of Saturn.
Well, you know, what we've had is, you know, the sun's already passed, Venus is in Aries, you know, or
from Pluto.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and Venus is, well, it may not be in Aries yet, it's late Pisces, and we got Mars in Pisces. You know, working on these, you know, the Saturn-Uranus opposition, it's a 48-year cycle. It really works with collective social political cycles. And so when we go through Saturn-Uranus oppositions, it's the past Saturn versus the future Uranus. Virgo Pisces. Oh, man, that can get into jobs. Virgo Pisces in evolutionary astrology, from our perspective, that really relates to the distortions of human-made religion
mm-hmm.
versus the expressions of natural spirituality. Both Virgo and Pisces, they can have the distortions and the natural expression. And so we can have many cycles of everybody questioning beliefs, Pisces, on deep level. You know, Uranus shaking things up. And Uranus right now, you know, Venus is still retrograde. Oh, that's it. Venus will go retrograde April. It goes back into Pisces, I think April 11th through the 24th. And so, you know, I would say these financial contractions are kind of creating some disillusionment with, you know, life in general. It's going home directly to the personal relationship with Venus by Uranus and Mars and Pisces. What's in it for me? What's this mean for me? You know, the Venus retrograde cycle in Aries, I've really been, you know, observing Venus retrograde. It's one of the rarest retrogrades, only 10% of the time. And Venus's values, Venus is our essential need. And so Venus retrograde in Aries, it is, what's in it for me? I want my freedom from what doesn't work. I want my freedom from these crises, Saturn and Virgo. And yet, you know, we could be working our way through, a little bit of disillusionment with all the Piscean energy there opposing Saturn and Virgo.
Also, one other thing, do you place any significance on the Venus stationary point passing the vernal equinox?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a very rare event,
yeah.
You know, as it traces
yeah.
out its pentagram.
Yeah, and actually Venus is retrograde in Aries once every 8 years. And each time it's
retrograde.
Yeah,
certainly, but it's hundreds of years. For a station across the equinox.
Yes. And personalizing it for right now, today, in current life. It, you know, Venus in Aries, we want to bust out. We want to go out there and get our needs met. You know, I know the economy is all upside down. I know that, you know, everything's in chaos, but hey, I want my needs met. And so we're figuring we're each figuring out what's important to us with these changes. So, you know, you're right. Venus will do its retrograde thing in Aries, you know, evolving through that vernal equinox point over a 100-year time period.
And I mean, right over the first degree of Aries.
This is
8 years every 2 degrees or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's a long term.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I hate to interrupt you, but our time is up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate you calling in. And Kim, the hour always goes so fast with you. Amazing information.
Sorry, I talk so much.
Oh, no. You got lots of information. It's well worth listening to. Again, her website is evolutionaryastrology.net. Please check it out. This is Jennifer Hellman. You can check me out and contact me through angelsintuition.com. Until next time, this is Jennifer Hellman wishing you good wishes, and with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspiration. Many blessings and good night.